Praise God. Greetings once again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to all. I think some of our brethren from Buckler is not here probably. I think I understand there's some bombs fallen there from Buckler, so I don't know if there's some inconvenience there. But let's pray. So brothers and sisters, times are, I told you last Sunday, that we have every Sunday we meet here, but things are not improved in this world. One thing is sure, people in Sri Lanka are now looking up, you know, they are looking to the skies, including everybody, I think in the wrong way. If there had been another way, they should have been looked at the skies, and I think the Lord would have blessed them and ministered unto them. Now they are looking for the signs and the tremendous fear. I have presented to you last couple of Sundays on the aspect of the image of God. And I think we had wonderful options to understand what the Lord was planning when He created Adam in His image. I think you would have had a very clear understanding on that aspect. Well, brothers and sisters, things are getting worse in the world, not only in our country, but globally. And it will become much worse. But I can assure you, all His children, Bible says He's keeping them as the apple of the eye. And there is protection. The Bible says they will run into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be kept like He's keeping in a tower. Therefore, that can be assured. In the midst of all this that is taking place in our country and all over, I can assure you that the Lord is there for us. This evening, we are commencing this important Bible study on the seventh church age. Once we complete this, as well as seven seals, I can tell you that you would know the book of Revelation like a palm of your hand. It will not no longer going to be a book which would confuse you. Once we complete this study on the seven church ages, seven seals, you can explain to people every aspect of book of Revelation. It is not Greek or it is not some other language. It is the language that God has spoken to His bride. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, this evening, Lord, bringing all of us together. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You open our understanding, Father. And I pray, Lord, that You open our understanding to the hidden truths of Thy Word, Father, which is essentially, Father, revealed to none other than the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. As I told you, during my study in the image of God, we understood the fact that when God created Adam in His image, how that image was so much of tarnished and came to a level, it is thought totally everything that was in the imagination of man was evil, like what we see today. And that's the very reason that God once again brought the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the first fruit of that very image of God. And that He wanted that everyone that is born of God, everyone born of the Spirit of God, would match to that image, that stature, that likeness. And there is no measure of that taking place in the lives of true and genuine Christians. And then there is a question mark that God has. We are His people whom He has chosen before the foundation of the world in His mind to come to that stature. And that's why we also here in this ministry, which is a fivefold ministry, a purpose is bringing people to absolutely to the knowledge of the Son of God. The unity of faith. Unity of faith means that you begin to see the connection of everything in the Word of God. And then you begin to see eye to eye And thereby that you would begin to understand the scripture so much that, as Brother Sriyan said in the beginning, that you know, it becomes a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your pathway. So let's pray that the Lord would enlighten us this evening. Just to go back to two things. The book of Revelation is a mystery of God revealed. The book of Revelation starts with the word says, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word revelation says, that's why it's called revelation. It's going to be revealed. It's not revealed, it's going to be revealed. And that's why it says, this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we are beginning to understand some of the important mysteries which is going to be revealed, not to the world, not to the Christianity, but to the bride whom God has chosen. Few of the scriptures which I want to place before you, before I go into the very scriptures of the topic. In the Luke chapter 12 verse 35-37 says, let your loins be girded about and your light burning. Now this is absolute word which comes from follow up of what I said last Sunday. Let your loins be girded and let your light be burning. You remember when Jewish people, when they began to move away from the land of Egypt, when they had a Passover, you know, when they eat the Passover, you can see in the book of Exodus, they ate in haste and their loins girded. And they were kind of in haste, in hurry, doing it. And in the same thing, it says, let your light burning. And yourself unto a man that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto you immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth to serve him. Now this is an interesting scripture here. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and maketh them to sit down to meat, and will cometh forth and serve them. And we understand what it means. The wheat means the word. And when we explain to the study of the whole Holy Communion, we presented to you that it is none other than the word that would be given to us as the meat. And he says that he would gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And this is what exactly happening in the midst of us. While the merrymaking going around the world, even in the Christian world, the Lord is girding himself and making some of the people to sit down to meet, and he is serving them with a genuine true manna, true word of God. And it is going to happen in three different forms. This is what the scripture says. He is going to first serve, that's what here says, he has cometh, then he is going to serve them. And then he says here, he shall come in the second watch, and he shall come in the third watch, and find so, blessed are those servants. So there are three watchers that is mentioned here. He is coming, going to come and serve in the first watch, the second watch, and the third watch. And then find him, blessed are those servants. So you need to understand what is this he is speaking about, the three watchers. First, the second, and the third. And it is no secret here. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now here he says, in this scripture here, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. His descent is going to take place three forms. First is with a shout. Second is with the voice of an archangel. The third is with the trump of God. And when the trump of God finally finishes, this is the third one. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he says, we who are alive, remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air. There are two aspects. We will ascend and we will descend. The Lord, he has descended, and then we will descend him to meet in the air. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, as I am going to explain the seven church ages, you would understand what is the shout, what is the voice of archangel, and what is the trump of God. In fact, we are almost finished with the shout. Shout is finished. We are in the voice of archangel. The trump of God is not yet taken place. If that is taken place, then in Christ would have risen and our life would have been changed, would have been caught. So that this has not happened still. But the shout has taken place. And the voice of archangel is taking place. And that's what we are going to understand. Because it is the second watch that we are in. The first watch is gone. And in the second watch, the master is serving. He has girded himself. He is serving the meat to a group of people whom he has chosen before the foundation. And in the third watch, where he would come and give that final finale to his servants, where everything would be concluded. And that's why it says, the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make rule over his household, to give them their portion in its due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, find doing so. For truth I say unto you, that he will make him rule over all that he has. Again it says here, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? You know, this is a question a lot of people ask me. A lot of people ask me this question. Now brother, you are saying all these things. There are hundreds and millions of Christians in this world. This truth is not trivial. In fact, you know, some sister spoke to me the other day and said, why don't you print so many brochures and give it to me? I will sit and stand, go to all these churches and distribute these handbills. I am thankful to that sister who agreed. But the fact is, even at that time the disciples knew that there is going to be few that is going to be saved. Few means there are few who is going to understand this important aspect. Strive to enter the straight narrow gate, for many I say unto you will seek to enter it and shall not be able. When the master of the house is risen and he shut the door and begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. You remember when we discussed and presented to you the image of God, it is what the Lord is talking about, the intimate knowledge that you had of him and he had of you. That is the intimate knowledge. When Jesus says, I know you not whence you are, I don't know you. I don't know your intimate, I don't know your beginning, I don't know where you are. And I just remember telling you that in the age that we are living in, the seventh church age, the elevation, Jesus is outside, he's knocking. And also remember the parable of 10 virgins, wise and fools. And the fools came and said, open unto us. And he says, I know you not. In other words, there is no intimate knowledge between me and you. And that's what I said, that this Bible is presented to us, to know everything that is there. And I'm sure, when we understood last 6 weeks we presented to you the image of God from Genesis to Revelation, from the time of Noah, from the ages of that aspect of sons of God and daughters of men, that you would very clear now the aspect of the Genesis, the story of genes, why God has to offer a blood sacrifice, why blood was something which was the center, a theme of Christianity, and the purpose of which the Lord Jesus died. So what happens here is we are talking about again a group of people whom God has chosen to reveal, which He calls the bride. And that's why He says, a little group of people, it is the will of the Father that give the kingdom unto you. It is not to the large, it is the little group of people. Obviously, there is a group of people that will go with the Lord in the rapture. There will be a tribulation. And during that tribulation, there will be a tribulation saints running into millions and millions. And I'm sure that you would be able to understand that when we cover the seven church ages and the seven seals, I can guarantee you, when we finish seven church ages, seven seals, this book of Revelation would be like any other gospel thing. It's not going to be hidden, I can guarantee that. Because that's the way the Lord had revealed it to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you, the very first church age, the Lord says, it begins, God, even before John wrote about the book of Revelation, seven church ages, Jesus explained to them about the seven parables in the Matthew chapter 13. What did He say? He says these parables refers to the kingdom of heaven. Now there are two aspects here. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, two different aspects. The kingdom of heaven is what Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then He began to preach the gospel to people. And then He brought this important parables, which is seven parables presented by the Lord, which is very clearly recorded by Matthew because he was with him. Matthew was one of his disciples. Luke, who also had written it, was not with the Lord. And he knew the order in which, Matthew knew the order in which the Lord gave it. And that's why he wrote it one after one in Matthew 13. And the first parable is the parable of the sower. And he says, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them, and some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up there, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and they choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit. And some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold." And in fact, when Jesus' disciples came and asked them to explain the parable, you find in Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 20, you can go home and read it. And Jesus says, "Here therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," word of the kingdom, anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So what happens here, he says, the seed is the word. The seed is the word. And here he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and therefore, when he began to expound this, really, during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached, he presented the word, but really, the beginning of it began to take place soon after he rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit came. There are important aspects that you can find in the ministry of the Lord. Now remember, when number of people came with the Lord in a desert place, He spoke to them for hours. And when He spoke to them hours, and they were hungry, and the disciple, He asked the disciples said, "These people are hungry now, send them away." And then Jesus said, "Okay, you give something to eat." He says, "No, we don't have enough. Except this boy who has 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And you remember, the Bible says, with that, Jesus fed 5,000. And how many baskets left? 12. And there's another story of the same thing that was there. At that instance, also, 4,000 people were fed. Do you know how many baskets left? 7. I think this is again, Jesus gave a very clear understanding. There will be 12 disciples who were going to feed that, the world soon after His departure. He left the 12 basket full of the bread that was broken by the law. He has fed them naturally to those people that were there, the Jewish community. The Jews were fed with that. But He left the 12 baskets, which is the indication of, because their Bible full of symbols, types and shadows. And therefore it is the 12 disciples which began to feed. And also, after these 12 disciples, we find the 7 church ages. In the 7 church ages, there's a messenger to each church age. Like 7 baskets that were there after the 12 baskets. You know, in the last 2000 years, the church is divided into 7 ages. And each church age, there's a man God dressed to feed an element of people with His food, with His meal. It lasted 7. So the 12 baskets and the 7 baskets refers to the work that God intended soon after He rose from the dead. So we find very clearly that when Jesus brought this parable of the sower, He says the seed is the word of the kingdom. And the word was sowed unto all of the people at that time, starting from Jerusalem and to many places. And then it fell all over, like it fell over the wayside and fell on the stony places. And various places it's fallen to. And then what happens is, as it falls, as the word is presented, you know, even the time of Lord, hundreds and thousands of people heard the word. But only a handful of people finally remained with the word. In fact, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you also leave?" He says, "Where can we go? You have the word of eternal life." So what happens is, this is the word, seed word, that was presented, so the fruit is generated. Fruit of the word. And if you can remember what I presented in the last couple of Sundays, when I spoke about the image of God, if you receive the word, and the word will accomplish a work in bringing you to the mesh, you to the word. That is what the fruit is all about. So we find here that when the first church age started, Initially, the 12 disciples, you remember there was a man, instead of Judas, Matthias was brought in. But the ministry fell upon Apostle Paul, who took the gospel to Gentiles. Because the Jews rejected the word, and the Lord has to turn his hand. I steward the Gentile bride, whom you and I are representing. So what happens? We find during this period that 12 disciples began to spread the word, seed word, to hundreds and thousands of people. And many came in and began to bear the fruit. Thousands of them came. But among them you find the lookalikes, false brethren, not the genuine ones. And therefore let's also understand what is written in the book of Revelation about this first church age. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saying, He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Brothers and sisters, I will explain everything here as we go continuing these studies. On the golden candlesticks, what it means, seven stars, every aspect. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne as patience for my name's sake, as labored and has not fainted. So remember, we are talking about the first church age. In the first church age is also, the Lord is telling, I know thy works, thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. So, in the midst of this first church age, you find the pretenders, the tares, the so-called false brethren, which is mentioned in the Bible. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. He that hath, now this is the final word to the first church age, the Ephesus church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Now you find very often that the Lord tells John, he that hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. What the Spirit says to the churches, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. So the tree of life, still there, it remains. So it says, Revelation 2:7 says, I will give him to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. Which church is the first church? Is that? It's no wonder when God opened up, when He poured the Holy Spirit, when the keys of the kingdom was opened by the mystery which is revealed by God's anointing to Peter, and that he was able to understand the things what God has given, what it means the tree of life. The Ephesian church age, the first messenger is St. Paul. The time period is AD 50 to AD 170. This is the first church age. And it is, the first messenger is Paul. You would ask, how do you identify Paul as the first messenger? You remember, it is the Paul who went into Gentiles, who moved away from the Jewish church and went out, and you will find the various aspects of his epistles and his ministry in the book of Acts, that he is God-raised messenger or the angel, the first church age, which is Ephesians. So the time period is AD 50 to AD 170. The Apostle Paul founded the Ephesian church in the middle of the first century. He was a prophet messenger to the Gentiles. God gave him full revelation of the word to the Gentile church. I didn't write the scripture, but I would like you to note that scripture. Galatians 1, 12 to 19. You can read it and say what Paul talks about this aspect. Paul's manner of ministering settled the pattern that all future messengers were to aspire to. Now we find there are six messengers after that. So what happens is, what does Paul do? Not only he brings the message to the first church age, he set the standard or the lifestyle or the patterns of the other six ministers who are going to be there in each age. In each age, in the last 2000 years, after the first church age, Paul set the pattern of the nature and the character of the every messenger that would come thereafter. Not only that, he set the pattern to a true minister, a servant of God. If any one of us can aspire to be a servant of God, we must aspire to be like Paul. Paul says, you follow me as I follow the Lord. He has that boldness to say. So I would say, if any one of us desire to be a servant, or an apostle, or a pastor, or a preacher, or a teacher, I think we must look at the pattern of Paul. Apostle Paul, if you go through the scripture, in the ministry, had a threefold quality. This great apostle was absolutely true to the word, never deviating from it, no matter what it cost. Now this is an absolute character you find in Paul. He never ever sacrificed anything for the world. These are the scripture references. Galatians 1, 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 14, 36, 37. All these scriptures, these are very clear, because he said, even if an angel from heaven or somewhere else comes and preach something else, let the person be accursed. Even he had the boldness to tell that, because he firmly stood by the word, he understood the word, he presented by the word. And he said, when he was told to shut up, he says, we cannot do it. And he had the boldness. And in fact, many situations he has to go through, many difficulties. Not a single time that he deviated from the word of God. That is a very clear understanding to all of us, that our absolute is the word. There are many good books in this world. Many good books. I read some of them. There are many good books written by good servants, good prophets, good apostles. Never replace that for this. There is nothing that cannot be compared with this. This is the book of books. You may read the books of various apostles and preachers and servants of God. Don't ever replace that book with this. With that book. But I understand, unfortunately, there are many people, unlike Paul, replacing this book with other books. Secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. He was in the power of the Spirit. Paul could discern and say to anybody with a false spirit. When a woman or somebody began to praise him and say this, he says, "You who are from a wicked or a perverted spirit." He could. So any genuine minister, any genuine and true minister would have the power of the Spirit, which can demonstrate the spoken and written word, like Paul did. Finally, Apostle Paul had the evidence of the fruit of his God-given ministry. Not only he left the churches, not only many servants of God, but in his own life and the life of the servants of God whom he raised, there was fruit that you could see. So you would find this is absolutely the standard of any servant of God should match to. We have seen many servants of God coming and then they just there's a lot of fanfare, but after some time it is just gone. He's not with Paul's ministry. The Apostle Paul had the means of bringing in multitude of Gentile sheep. He fed them, he cared for them until they are brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as a part of his Gentile bride. If you look at and read the scriptures, you look at very earnestly the epistles he had written, and you find that a genuine and a committed desire that he had for every individual believer in all those churches. He also did not cover anything with a sugar-coated thing. When he said there is something wrong, he pointed that and says, "Take that man out." He called the spade, we as we say. He was a minister who was willing to even say the truth, even if it doesn't might be believing. That's the condition of Paul. You find in his epistles to Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, in one instance he says to the Galatians, "Oh foolish Galatians, are you so mad to be like this?" He said, How foolish you Galatians are. So he doesn't mince his word when he presented the truth to the people. He was not governed by a denomination or any form of organized religion. He was absolutely spirit-led. Just to give you background, before I come back to what I presented in the book of Revelation, just to give you insight to the Ephesians, the beautiful city, this is one of the beautiful cities at that time, Asia. It is in all Turkey, that area. Was one of the three greatest cities of Asia at that time. It was called the third city of Christian faith, with Jerusalem first, the Antioch second, and the very big city with Roman government, but spoke the Greek language. City was governed by Romans, but the language they spoke was Greek. The name Ephesus has a mean, strange compound meaning. says prestige, says aim that and relax. And you find this is exactly reflected in the what we saw that in the message to the seventh church, first church. The local church and the attitude of the church through the age has become relaxed and was drifting and backsliding and left its first love. That was there was a local church, and that's the condition that passed down to all the others. We find they became relaxed, they became more backsliding and leaving the first love. The enemy had in this first stage of the church sown an anti-word seed, which would in future ages bring physical death to millions of God's children. You find it is beginning of this age, the latter part of this age, there is so much of destruction upon the genuine Christians took place. And that's why when all the Jewish people, Jewish Christians in the first church age, they fled Jerusalem and Israel and fled to Saudi Arabia. In fact, Saudi Arabia was fully occupied by the Jewish communities. Not like these days. It's Jews who live there in Saudi Arabia. Because you find in Matthew 24, Jesus told, when you see these things, flee. So that none of the disciples did not go through the tribulation that took place soon after the destruction of the temple in AD 69. In AD 69, when the first temple was destroyed by Titus. I will explain to you that to you as we go. There was, the whole city was surrounded by the Roman army. And the city was searched. The inside, the people had no food to an extent. The parents had to kill their own children and eat. Bible said that. Then this will happen to you. In the book of Deuteronomy, God said to the Jewish people, the day will come that you will eat your flesh. Flesh of your own seed. It actually happened. That is why Jesus said, I fear it is sad thing to people who are giving, feeding the children. They were not only feeding them, they were eating the children. That has come. That really happened historically. It is accounted by Josephus, who recorded the Jewish history. So therefore we find there was physical death that came upon to many people, but the genuine Christians fled to Saudi Arabia and from few other countries, subsequently they came back. Coming to the maturity in the seventh church, seventh and the last age, the fruit of the seed sown in the Ephesians says, would bring spiritual death and unto millions of professing Christians. The very spirit we would see that as we go. And as you find Jesus said, the second parable, parable of the tares and wheat. And I say in the midst of all the Christians, we find these two aspects. Wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins. The very religion of the city of Ephesus was typed out perfectly. This church age, just a tenor for the ages to come. Ephesians worship the goddess Diana. Diana was to Ephesians what Astra was to Syrians, Venus to Romans, Isis to Egyptians. All different names for the same goddess who was worshipped as the queen of heaven. This worship originated with the Nimrod and his wife, Mother Semiramis, which I explained to you last couple of Sundays, which I explained to you, the seed of Ham. Now you find Paul himself goes to Ephesus and he finds that they have the worship of Diana, the goddess, was the main thing. And there was problem, in fact, even, you know, there are people who live by the religion was affected by the ministry of the Pope. And they, in fact, you know, there are a lot of confusion as a result of this. So therefore, we find that this is a people resisted. The people resisted the very Christian spirit that came in. Because they not only lost the membership, they lost the business. Many followers of Diana, goddess Diana, were brought in by Paul and the ministers to genuine true Christianity. So the church, their fellowship, their Christian organization, their temples were empty without people. And when the temples were empty, the people who were making money out of the temple, making statues of goddess and god, they lost business. You find in the book of Acts, when you read that. And they are making, trying to find a way how we could make inroads and come back to this same business. In this church age, worship of the Father, Mother, Son, the Trinity began. Mother Semiramis was worshipped as the Queen of Heaven, which came from Nimrod's that period. The half-wife, Jezebel, that's in the Bible, introduced in the worship the Baal and Astarte, the goddess of heaven. As I explained to you last couple of Sundays, Baal means the sun. Now I explained to you how Nimrod and Semiramis introduced this sun worship. Hardly a nation escaped this spiritual pollution. It eventually infiltrated the church, established in the worship of the Virgin Mary. It is nothing less than the spirit of Antichrist, moving the emphasis away from the Lord Jesus Christ to false gods and goddesses of man-made religions. It would take time for the spirit of Antichrist to mix pagan ideas and theology with the newborn Christian church. Now you find that for the background, we have a heavy following for the heathenic pagan goddess Diana. It was absolute that she the one who ran the place there, and the religion, everything. So when the church was a newborn church, which Paul started, the Ephesian church, he has to fight this spirit. And by, we find the spirit begin to take some inroads into the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was established in Ephesus, which was just the first church age. But already in this first age, the pagan influence was subtly infiltrated in the Church of Christ. The true believers did recognize the anti-word deeds, certain of the brethren, but never realized that those deeds would one day become the law of an empire and which would hold political and spiritual dominion over the people. Now you find Paul said, these brethren went from us, but they are not of us. You remember? The Bible says, they went from us, but they are not of us. And in fact, you find Paul have a lot of problems with these false brethren. Not only him, many others. You find, I'll give some references, probably next Sunday, about these false brethren, which was there in the very first church age. And they were strong, they were forced to reckon with. Because they created so much of doubt, so much of confusion, so much of distrust, so much of things which people began to really feel about. And it is the beginning of things that we see today. The priest of Diana was Eunice. Basically, sterile Antichrist priesthood, which would be introduced to Christianity by apostate. All the priests of the temple of, they were Eunice. And as you find, that is gradually creeping into Christianity as well. Introduced this by Paul's church. wherein their priest would forbid him to marry. Wow! And beyond the physical therapy, it reflects the spiritual, the royal church which had drifted from their love for the word of God and become unable to produce the word in everyday living. Not only this priest was trial, they were eunuchs, and that same thinking crept into the Christian. You see, as we explain the subsequent parables, you would understand that this same thing, because what happens is, they say, if you cut wheat, you join them. No? You can't win the war, you join them and then destroy them. That's what Satan do. So what happens is, they found that this church is spreading, everybody you find, even, you know, there was a man who went and asked Peter, Paul, you know, give me this, you know, when you lay hands, you know, there were people like that. So there were a lot of business there, you know, it was a business-oriented city. Business. So what happens here is that gradually we find that this false religion that was there in Ephesus now trying to creep in step by step into the true Christian church. They became entrenched in a form of godliness, satisfying with the religious and ritual ceremony, and works for a dead faith without Holy Ghost manifestation would be the order of worship. A high priest was the overseer of all that pertained to the worship of goddess Diana. The temple of Diana had a high priest. He was the overseer. As I told you, the church of Diana or the temple of Diana, there is a political function, because people were, at that time the Romans always used the religion also to their political advantage. You remember that time, even the time of Jesus, we find that he was a man of political power and public influence, portraying what he is already in the progress, though not manifested yet in the first stage. Now when you subsequently we find this what he started in a little way now has blossomed into a same identical thing which was there at that time. The church would soon be given out of human leadership, devoid of divine inspiration. They would govern the church by human interpretation of the will of God, rather than the revealed word given by the messenger of the age. The Holy Ghost move among the people would be branded as fanaticism and persecuted unto death. This was represented by the pagan temple slaves, who had no choice but the obedience to the religious hierarchy. All these things spoke of what was to come in greater manifestation in the future ages of the church. Man-appointed clergy would, political maneuvering, and with the state help, enslave the laity, making them servants of the creed, dogmas, rituals of church, ran by corrupt leaders, giving their power and the glory over to Antichrist. Antichrist be spoken in the book of Revelation. Now let's go back to this scripture, in this background. Now it says here, unto the angel of Ephesus, write these things. Saith he that holds the seven stars in the right hand, who woke up in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot not bear them which are evil. Now you find that, you know, suddenly this church also began during this 50 AD, 50 AD, 170, suddenly began the infiltration of the paganism into the church. And also, not only that, then there were people who called them apostles. Or, Paul says, the John says, then they found they are liars, not the truth. And also he says, now there are two churches exist now within the church, genuine and false. Has borne patience for my name's sake and labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left the first love. Now, as a result of this kind of infiltration, there was an immense pressure and a challenge that came upon the genuine church. Now, for instance, it happens like this. Now, we have this fellowship here. Some people would come here. I mean, it will happen in many churches. Sit and win the hearts of some people. And, you know, gradually, you know, by and by, you know, they'll speak to you nicely, they do various things, you know. They speak to you. They are very nice. And they win the confidence. And step by step, they will deviate from the things and question the work that is taken place. This happens. This is what that was happening. I could imagine it would have happened that way. Therefore, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. So by the time it came to that place, there has to be a message says that this first church is the fallen state. The state has become a fallen state. So much so, it says, you have to go back to the first verse, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of thy place. It's the dark way. And also you find, it says, in this church age, John reveals here, thou hast hated the deeds of Nicolaitan. Now this Nicolaitan spirit came from the temple of Diana. We find the priest, the high priest, and then they had the kind of two groups, laity and the clergy. Nicolaitans means conquer the laity. Nicolaitans means conquer the laity. So what happens here, we find that God says that he hates this. He hates anybody conquering the laity. And either can hear, let him hear what the spirit says. Now what happens here, you find in the very first church age is the age where God poured the Holy Spirit and began to reveal the tree of life, which is the word, which is the law of life. Law of life for us to come to the very image of Christ, which resulted in all the apostles that filled with the Holy Spirit matches the absolute character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which resulted in producing the fruit of the tree of life. What was the fruit of the tree of life? Is to bring you back to the image of God, which happened to a group of people there at that time when God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And that's why they were called Christians. They look like Christ. They had the attribute, the character and the nature of it. And that is why that they had the opportunity of understanding the law, genuine law of life, which is the word of life. And that is why Jesus says in the first parable, it is the word of the kingdom. Who hears the word of the kingdom? The seed word. When you receive the seed word, that seed produces the fruit. And that fruit would matches to the very original seed which is given. The word. Jesus was the word made flesh. And now the word is given to the flesh and the flesh has to convert back to the word. Jesus was the word made flesh. And now the word is given. Now the word is given to the flesh. And the flesh has to be turned to the word. Like Jesus was the flesh made word, we now the flesh has to be made word, which is the fruit. So what happens, we find here, by and large, that once this seed is given, there is both sides, there is emerging spirit of the Nicolaitans, emerging spirit of falsehood. That's why he says here, the liars, the falsehood, false brethren, all began this period. Going back to message to each church, seven churches, is from none other than Lord Jesus Christ. The one John saw standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. The beginning of the message to each seven churches, Jesus identifies himself in his position, in his power, in his authority, in his glorious attributes by the word. By the word, in the word, through the word, he clarified, clearly identified himself into all churches. In the right hand of power are seven stars, who are according to Revelation 1:20, are the seven churches' messengers. Being in the right hand, thus signifies his authority. These seven churches' messengers are in the right hand of the Lord. This signifies his authority and control over his messengers. Secondly, signifies the very power and authority God are behind his messengers to every age. If Paul was the first messenger, he came in the authority of the Lord. He has the full authority. That's why he spoke with authority. He is sent in with authority. He reflected the authority of God. And not only that, he signifies the power of God behind him all the time. The messengers are represented as stars in his right hand. They are stars because they reflect the light, reflecting not their own light, the revelation of Jesus Christ for the age in which they live. As natural stars reflect their light in the night, when the darkness covers the earth, even so the stars, star messengers, in the right hand of Jesus Christ are ordered to reflect the light in the spiritually dark night which falls upon the earth. These star messengers would fulfill in their day the great commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28:19-20. They speak and act upon his authority. The great commission is given the threefold: go, teach, and baptize. Now that's what we are doing here. Teach. Preaching is good, but teaching is important. The true ministry is to teach the word, teach the people the word, encouraging them to live up, not with church creed, but with what God said in his word. The true servants of God will always point people to the word, not to a church, not to a ministry, not to a sensation. Teach not the doctrines of Nicolaitans or the doctrines of Balaam, but teach them to observe all things whatsoever our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded in his word. Neither star messengers or any other ministry is permitted to add to the word or change, subtract or compromise that which God has written forever settled in the earth. It wasn't the Pope, the pastor general, overseer, or the church who hung upon the cross, gave his blood. It was Jesus Christ. The church didn't die for us. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of faith. We are exposed to him, not to another. We don't belong to a church. We belong to him. And his word is life to us. The church creed, dogmas, bylaws and constitutions make the word non-effect, blinding the people to what God, what the word of God actually teaches, causing them to worship God in vain. So you find that this same spirit is creeping there as the little candlesticks in the tabernacle in the wilderness are made of pure gold. Our righteousness is His righteousness. Our attributes are His own glorious attributes. Our identity is found in Him. And what He has, we have to manifest. That was what began at that time. But what happens is this status began to be a scarcity subsequently, in the subsequent church age. So what happens, we have in the first church age, the falsehood, Nicolaitan spirits, the divisions, the worship of other things other than God, a man-made religion, began to surface in this age. So what happens here is, at that time, it was a scarcity to see the people of God, a genuine true Christian. That is why you find, by and by, we find the love of the God in the people will vanish. He seduces. And they are controlled by man. And it eventually falls into the second church age. There are a few more things. The time doesn't permit for me to go into. In the very first church age, some of the things which I refer to you in the book of Revelation, I would cover from next Sunday. But I want to tell you, as I told you last Sunday, you see, it all starts with falsehood. As I told you, the perversion starts with a lie. Is a lie is what was introduced to Eve. And what was there, the beginning of the perversion, of any perversion, is the spirit of lying. And that's exactly that took place in the very first church age. Like it happened to Eve, same thing happened to in the first church age. The lie was converted and presented as a truth. The people believed it and followed it, and as a result of that, their lives were totally rallied around the lie, not the truth. Therefore, as genuine and true Christians, we have to make sure that our lives all the time reflect like pure gold, righteousness of His stripes, His attributes, and what He has, we have to reflect in us. If we say that we are, Lord is in us. Let's pray. As we pray, I ask Brother Ravi to come to pray for the needs of every one of us. And I believe we are living in a very difficult time in this world and in this country. I know there are so much of anxieties as we heading for the next week. So much of confusion. But I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you are in the palm of His hand. And the Lord is keeping you like apple of His eye. And He said nothing will happen. No evil has happened to the people who belong to Him. And tonight, I am sure that you have a need. You have a requirement, a healing. And the Lord is going to minister to you. He is going to undertake for many situations. He is going to heal you. He is going to provide you. He is going to protect you. He is a God, the Almighty, who has created heaven and everything. There is nothing impossible with Him. He is able to exceedingly abundantly more than what you think of. He is our loving Father. And therefore, He go before you, beside us, all the time.